Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee, to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away. As Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Did you hear that at the end? Did you hear that last verse? Did that catch your attention? Saul and Samuel never saw each other again until when? The day of his death. Whose death? Saul's death. Oh, yeah. Now you're getting it, right? Until the day of Saul's death, Samuel came to see him. Remember that? Yeah, we'll talk about that later. All right. Well, again, kind of a lengthy chapter, but really a lot of good stuff here that we need not belabor, but we do want to mention. So first of all, the Lord asserts his authority over Saul. Verse 1. The Lord asserts his authority over Saul. Of course, this has special interest for us since we've just read what a totalitarian government, a statism government is all about. The Lord asserts his authority over Saul. Remember that Jesus Christ asserts his authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. Samuel said also unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. You see, the first thing that magistrates need to remember is that they are bound to rule as those who are ruled by Christ. And when they forget that, we end up where we were reading earlier in Revelation chapter 13. We end up with a government that has the characteristics, it draws to itself the characteristics of godhood. In other words, it commits blasphemy. All right, so the Lord commands Saul on an errand. And the errand that the Lord commands him to is to remember and to strike the Amalekites. Now, when Saul first begins on this errand, it seems like he's doing a good thing. Seems like he's gotten himself up and he's heading straight out. It's, you know, it seems like early and quick obedience. He's heading straight to his duty that the Lord has commanded him. He tells the Kenites, you better, this is not your fight. You better head on out of here. If I find you among the Amalekites, I'm going to slay you with them. So he's doing some good things here at the beginning. But again, doesn't this characterize the life of Saul? Starts out well, ends up terrible. When Samuel upbraids him later, he says, When you were little in your own sight, the Lord made you king. What happened? You're no longer little in your own sight. You think you can take the commands of the Lord and twist them into anything you want and excuse yourself. Okay, so then we see the prosecution of the duty. And the prosecution of that duty is that Saul's obedience is not complete. But remember that Saul is a man of self-righteousness. Self-righteous obedience is always incomplete. Now, it portends to be complete. It protests that it's complete. But it's always incomplete. You remember what the Jews did. I've told you this before. In fact, I said it last service. 613 commandments. Surely that's everything the Lord wants. 613, could there be any more? And yet in keeping those 613 commandments, they fell short of God's commandments, didn't they? Self-righteousness always falls short. So Saul, being that self-righteous man, protests his innocence, protests his obedience. You heard, and I emphasize it, particularly when I was reading in the Scriptures here, because I believe that we are intended to see that emphasis. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. I went on the errand you told me to, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. How can you assault what I've done as not being obedient? That is the voice of self-righteousness. You remember the self-righteous Pharisee in Luke? Was it Luke 21? He says, I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Oh, I do all these things right. All right, now let's bring it home. How many times do you protest the rightness of what you've done? When faced with conviction, as Samuel faced Saul here, what is your reaction? Let's take a look at Saul's reaction and let's compare it to our own. I mean, I can't compare it to you. You have to compare it to you. But think on this. Notice, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the spoil. This is there is no honor in a society of self-righteousness, right? Because if it's dependent upon your own performance, what will you do? Point, 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 point. Everybody but you. I went everywhere you told me to do. I did everything you told me. It was those guys over there. How do you respond when you are brought to a place where your sin faces you in the face? Do you accuse or excuse? Isn't that what's going on here? Saul accuses others and excuses himself. Is that what you do? If it is, remember that you are flirting with self-righteousness, at very least. At worst, you're still in your sins. Right? Let's be honest. At worst, you're still in your sins because you won't confess your sins to Christ and rely upon His mercy and grace. Rather, you would justify yourself. You remember the man that Jesus was talking to, the lawyer. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, yeah, I know that. You know, willing to justify himself, he said what? Well, then who's my neighbor? You know, it's really hard to know who your neighbor is. And that's when Christ tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are all too willing to justify ourselves. Saul here epitomizes the religion of man in seeking to justify himself when his sin faces him in the face. The Lord tells us through the mouth of Samuel then, while self-righteousness may comfort itself in half obedience, Samuel says to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. And if he stopped there, it would have been bad enough for Saul. But he goes on to say, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king. Well, let me ask you, have you rejected the word of the Lord? Think on your own actions. Think what goes on in your mind. Think what goes on in your inmost self when you're faced with conviction. Is it accusing and excusing? Is it protesting? Is it saying, no, I really have obeyed? These are the marks of self-righteousness, rebellion. It says the sin of witchcraft, Samuel says. Now, we say witchcraft? Again, that is the word of the Lord that was given to Samuel to arrest our attention, to show us how wicked rebellion is, and especially to continue on protesting your innocence when it's obvious that you're guilty. So then, Saul begins his confession. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That's not bad. It's not complete. He's still trying to gain the favor of Samuel, isn't he? Right? I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, Samuel. So come with me now. Come on with me and let's worship together. Everything's okay. Worship with me now. Samuel says, I won't do it. I won't do it. Notice, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go his way. He, that is Saul, laid hold upon the skirt, the mantle of Samuel. Samuel turned and it tore. As a good preacher, Samuel just picked that up as an object lesson. Right? So the Lord has torn the kingdom away from you. Notice Saul then, he confesses again. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. So upon this second, when Saul brings in the monarchy, that, you know, for the sake of the monarchy, come and worship with me. Samuel then does that. But notice here, in closing, two things. The first thing is this. Many have struggled with this passage beginning in verse 10 where the Lord says, it repenteth me that I have made Saul king. What does it mean when the Lord says, it repenteth me, or when in Exodus it says the Lord repented, or when in Jonah it says the Lord repented? What does that mean? It means simply this, that for his own purposes the Lord revealed himself to pursue in a particular direction. Now, he did that for purposes sometimes unknown to us. But then there was a time later, temporally, when the Lord revealed that he was actually moving in another direction. While it seemed that he was going this way, and while he may have announced that he was going this way, he moved in a different way. And he did that. He had a particular purpose in telling us he was going to go this original way to elicit some kind of response in us so that he could go the second way. What's interesting about that is Samuel's commentary on his conference with the Lord that night. The Lord tells him, it repenteth me that I have made Saul king, and Samuel interprets that to Saul saying, what? The Lord is not a man that he should repent. That's Samuel's inspired interpretation of the conversation that he had with the Lord the night before. The Lord is not a man that he should repent. And so as a prophet of the Lord, Samuel knew that when the Lord said the kingdom is going to be rent from the hands of Saul, that he wasn't going back on that. And the Lord is not a man that he should repent. And so what we learn from this passage is that what we do here on earth is not the cause of what goes on in heaven. What goes on in heaven is the cause of what goes on earth. So that God is the one. He's not responding to us. We are doing in the free choices, as we've been talking about in providence, in the exercise of our will, and God is working his providence, as we talked about last week, either what? Freely, contingently. See, freedom. I always forget. This is terrible. He causes them to fall out freely, necessarily or contingently, right? God uses second causes. And in those second causes, he does not in one whit relinquish his sovereignty nor his control. But Samuel's inspired interpretation of his conference with the Lord then is that he's not a man that he should repent. So we don't get to trivialize him. We don't get to play with him. We don't get to make a deal with him. Like he can reveal something and we can make a deal and get him to do something else. If there was anything that Saul could have done to retain the kingdom, you think he would have done it? But all those hopes are taken away when Samuel tells him the Lord is not a man that he should repent, nor the son of man he should lie. And then finally, as I told you earlier, Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. And then Samuel came to see him. When was that? That was when one of the most interesting passages of Scripture unfold. When Saul, who has forbidden everyone from going to witches and said, if you go, you'll die, himself goes to a witch. And the Lord allows, for his own purposes, the soul, the spirit, the immaterial nature of Samuel to rise up and to speak to Saul. And he says, what? Today you'll be with me. That was the last time, or the next time and the last time, that Samuel came to Saul. All right, this ends the reading then of 1 Samuel.